Grace to you in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Today we're going to be taking a look at Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. As I begin, I just want to ask you a question, and I mean this sincerely. What do you think about your sin? Do you take it seriously? I'll tell you something. I was baptized into the Christian faith at 25 days old. I was brought into God's family June 22nd, 1963. And from that point on, God had a hold of my life. I am Lutheran through and through. I'm a Christian first and foremost, but the way I believe about when I read the Bible, I come down and I am Lutheran as the day is long. But with that being said, I will tell you one of the difficulties that we run into when you're a preacher in a Lutheran church is you have about 15 to 20 minutes or people will leave. And then the second thing, the problem you run into is you talk about the law. You say, you know, sin is really bad, sin is really bad, sin is really bad. And you go, but it's okay. And I just really think that we need to stop and understand how bad sin really is. Sin separates us from God completely, entirely. He can have nothing to do with sin. So when we lie or cheat or gossip or say hurtful things or don't do things we're supposed to do, we are willfully separating ourselves from God intentionally. How many of you have ever been to Camp Luther Haven? Raise your hand. Okay, for those of you who've been to Camp Luther Haven, if you were a camper there, how many of you did archery? Raise your hand. Anybody ever do archery? Okay, what is archery? Just say it. Bows and arrows, right? And the goal is to hit the circle in the center. And what do we call the circle in the center? Bullseye. And then there's concentric rings out from there. Well, I don't know if you know this, but years ago in ancient times, they would have bows and arrows, and they would pull it back, and they would let it fly. But the distance was so far, they couldn't tell whether it hit the bullseye or not. And they had something that was called, a person was a caller. The caller didn't speak English. So what he did, though, is he called out a word which said that you, the person who was shooting the arrow, you missed the mark. The guy would yell out, if you missed the mark, he would yell, sin. So that's where we get sin is missing the mark. How serious is it? God says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be ye perfect as I, your heavenly Father, am perfect. Some people like to look at it and say, well, I love to sin. God loves to forgive sin, so I'm good. I actually would interpret it more this way, because God and God cannot be in the presence of sin. They don't stand next to each other and you embrace both. But in actuality, what you'd have is on this side, you would have, let's say this is the lectern and this is the pulpit, one being sin and one being God. You can only be at one place. You can't embrace sin and you can't embrace both at the same time. You will either turn your back on God and embrace sin, or turn your back on sin and embrace God. We make too little of our sin. And Jonah, which we read about, was blessed by God with a second chance. And so are we. You and I get a second chance. Jonah got a second chance. Before I get into Jonah specifically, we do confession and absolution here. And I'll tell you that one of the things, and I've only been a pastor, ordained pastor, for about 12 years. I was one of those people sitting in the pews and hearing the pastor. And I'll tell you something, it's a lot harder than you think it is, because you have hundreds and hundreds of people who are listening to you. And some people go, I don't like him. And other people are sitting there going, this is really boring. And then other people are saying, I don't necessarily agree. And other people are going, where do I want to go for lunch? And it's very easy to be like a Lutheran yo-yo. Stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. Lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. But the thing is, sometimes we can get into a pattern where we're not really hearing what we're saying. Here's a confession that we say as Christians. And I want you to hear the words. Not just say them, hear them. Most merciful God. That means you are a mercy-filled God. And even though we say we normally, I'm going to say I. I confess, admit, that I am by nature, who I am intrinsically, in my core, in my soul, who I am sinful, and I am unclean. I have sinned against you, God, in my thoughts, in my words, and deeds. By the things I've done, and by things I should have done that I didn't, or by what we have left undone. I have not loved you, God, with my whole heart. We give God part of our heart. We give him part of our life. We let him clean us up in areas that we dictate. You may come into this room, God. You may not go into this room, God. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We get so interested in what our life is. We justly, and that word justly is referring to a legal kind of a thing, a judge. The judge should say, I justly deserve your present, meaning right now, and eternal punishment. Your present punishment, like right now. I deserve to be punished right now. And I deserve to be punished into eternity. I deserve to be punished forever. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Mercy. See, when you ask somebody to have mercy, you're not getting what you deserve, because you deserve punishment. Mercy is the person lets it go. How many of you ever made your dad really mad? Like, really mad? My dad terrified me. I'm 51 years old, and he still can terrify me if he gets mad. And I remember one time, I thought he was going to explode, and he kind of did one of these. And he did this. And I knew I was going to live another day. Forgive me. Renew me. And lead me. So that I may delight. Meaning, have great happiness, great joy, and delight in your will. Be excited about what to do. That I get to live for you. And will walk in your ways. Not my ways, because my ways are not good. God's ways are good. Walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. I remember being in church when I was 18, and we were going through the liturgy doing the up, down thing, and I remember I leaned over to my dad, and I was just sitting in the pew like you guys, and I remember leaning over to my dad, and he stopped and looked at me, because I looked at him, I go, are we going to say the Lord's Prayer today? If you're me, and I'm my dad, he literally turned. He goes, we said that 5 minutes ago. I was on autopilot. And it's easy to get on autopilot. I want us to take our sins seriously. That's what we confess. That's what we confess to God. And Jonah, as we see him, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Notice there, right there. It came to him a second time. If you go to Jonah chapter 1, what you'll see is the word of the Lord already had come to him. But God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, which was to the east. That was 700 miles away. He said, let me get this straight, God. So you want me to go to Nineveh? Yes. So you want me to proclaim this message? Yes. And you want me to go that way? Yes. Cool, I'm going this way. And so he went to a place called Tarshish, which is, we kind of think it's like southern Spain. It was about 2,000 miles away. He was going the wrong way. You and I do that all the time. My guess is many of you have sinned today. If you live with another person in your house and you made it to church, my guess is somebody was yelling in your house, "We're gonna be late! Again! Get your shoes on. Turn the video game off. Let's go." And then you get out of the car, and then you play the church game. Wonderful to see you. And then some of you will pick it right back up when you walk into the car. I guess what I want to say to you is that we need to be men and women of faith. And I love the fact that God gave Jonah a second chance. He went the wrong way. God got his attention all right, though. I love the fact it's kind of interesting. I don't know if they did it on purpose. Maybe it's my weird sense of humor, and it probably is. You heard the gospel reading, "I will make you fishers of men," right? And in the Old Testament reading, we hear of a fish who went after a man and swallowed him up. And he got spit back out. And he got a second chance. And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, meaning he's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and over and over and over and over again. And you get to kneel at this rail today. And I love that because you get another chance. He's not done with you and he loves you. But let us not take our sin lightly, for it cost God his one and only son's life. I have a question for you. I have three children, and if they said, "We're either going to beat your child or we're going to beat or Pastor Doug's child." Now, as a dad, I'm stepping in between. You ain't touching my kid. You can be bigger, you can be stronger, and you can beat the tar out of me. But with every fiber of my being, I'm going to fight that. As you would. Some of you mama bears would do it. Do you know what God the Father did? This is what God the Father did. Go ahead. "You may beat my son. You may kill my son." And we jumped on it with relish. And we threw him on a cross and we nailed him there. We were good at it too. Our sin did that because we embraced sin and we turned our back on God. And God let him bleed. And God let him die for you and for me. And he didn't hold back. There is great love in there. And God gives you a second chance. And Jonah, with a second chance, went to Nineveh and said what he was supposed to say and did what he was supposed to do. And I ask you, what about you? What will we do with our second and third and fourth chance? Will we pick it up, or will we just keep doing the same old, in one ear and out the other? Will we hear the word of the Lord and allow his love to break through? Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. By the way, you could say, and the word of the Lord went out to Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne is a very important city. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed this: 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. How many of you have ever seen those guys with the signs, "Repent, the time is near," the beat-up sign, the guy's all dirty, right? How many of you have ever seen those signs? Yeah. How many of you go, seriously, be honest, how many of you keep your hand, put your hand back up if you say this? The dude's nuts. There should be more hands because you're lying to me. Okay. Yeah, because you're going, the guy's crazy. But I'll tell you something, he might be a little crazy, but he's also a little bit right. Repent. We need to turn. What does repentance mean? We're going the wrong way. God's word cuts us to the quick. And we return, we go back to where we're supposed to be. You see, you were brought into his family. You were a part of the family through baptism. And he brings you in. You are raised up in Christ, and you're living. And all of a sudden, that snake evil devil gets into our ear, and we start to wander away. We start inching away, and then we're going the wrong way. God calls us back. Now, the question is, how did they react when they heard of the word of the Lord? What did they do? Did they go, dude's crazy? Let's hear what Nineveh did. It says, the Ninevites believed God, They declared a fast, and all of them, panta, you've got the old, you got the Hebrew, and I'm better with Greek, and the Septuagint, which is a look at the Old Testament Bible, it's the word is panta, which means all. When I say all, I don't mean like most of it. Everybody, panta, from the littlest of the little to the biggest of the big, the greatest of the great, they repented. They declared a fast. In other words, we're not eating. We have to live this out. We are sorry. I'm sorry, God, for my sin. From the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth, which is that itchy stuff. I don't like being itchy. I'm not a big wool fan unless I got something on. But they were just trying to say, my sin bothers me. My sin grieves me. And then, verse 10. When they saw what they did, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. There's a Hebrew word here, and it's naham. Naham. And I kind of did it a little earlier. It's kind of like when your dad's really mad at you and you're waiting for the punishment to happen. Or maybe another way of looking at it, it's a little bit of an analogy. You ever been driving in a car and you hit a patch of ice like you might do today? And have you ever, you're on the brake and you're trying to pump the brakes and you're like, stop, 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 right? And you stop just in time and you do one of those, you're going, oh, right? Or maybe you're in big trouble with your mom or your dad. And you're waiting for dad to go crazy on you, and he just goes, that's naham. God, it's not God repented of it. God relented of it. He doesn't want to give us punishment. He put the punishment on Christ himself. He relented, and that brings him great joy. And with that, we get to go out and share the good news of that forgiveness which comes in Christ. You have a second chance. Most of you know about Mr. DJ Honick, who passed away. And a lot of you go, yep, big guy into sports, totally into sports. I want to share it because I think it's an important thing to share. DJ also loved the Lord. He didn't talk about him 24/7, 365. But he had a friend who didn't know the Lord, and his friend had a daughter. And the friend had been coming to him saying, you know, I don't know what to do. Things aren't working in my life. You know, I want my daughter to get a good education. I don't know what to do. And he said, and if you know DJ, dude, you should come to church with me. I love my church. It's got a great school too. You don't have to go by yourself. You can sit with me, man. And he came. And his friend got baptized. And his daughter got baptized. And they're active at Concordia, and they go to the high school too. See, I'm not asking you to go to Nineveh. But how about the neighbor across the street who needs that mercy and grace? To the person next door? To the mom who's struggling with the child? Can we be Jesus with skin on our face? Can we love? And out of view of God's mercy, can we care? For the greatest things we do are in response to the love we have received freely. We don't earn his grace or deserve it, but the grace that flows from the cross down onto the altar and out to his people brings us mercy from the Father. I would ask you this question, and no one can answer except you. In view of God's mercy and the second chance that Nineveh got and the second chance that Jonah got, what will you do with your second chance or your 9 millionth chance? May God say in you, may God say in me, may I be a minister of your peace, a man fast after God's own heart to pursue him and repent and receive his good gifts. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, may